The Crosstalk Unhinged podcast is brought to you by BlueChew.com. Get the chewables that give you the confidence you need and the performance you both want when it's time to have fun. BlueChew.com, promo code unhinged.
Here's a little story I like to tell about four bad brothers you know so well. They had a little segment back in history with Carmen, Yurko, Wild Ol', and Sylvie. That's right, motherfuckers, Crosstalk is back. But you can only hear it if you have this app. ESPN 1000 Chicago, look under Wild Ol' and Sylvie, or Carmen and Yurko. Uncut, uncensored, and never discreet. You will like this as much as Carmen likes feet. 30 minutes of talking shit amongst friends. Crosstalk unhinged. Let the show begin.
What the fuck is up? We are back for another fantastic episode of Crosstalk Unhinged. I have good news for everyone too.
What is it?
I think we were all included on the tweet of someone who just finished a marathon.
And
tweeted a bunch of people saying, thanking them for their podcast and saying, and in the bottom of the tweet saying, Crosstalk Unhinged always entertains me.
Yeah. Nice.
We were included in this tweet with like Stanford Steve and
Scott
SVP.
Van Powell, yep.
Who was the tweeter?
It was a listener who ran the marathon. Yeah. Said, you guys get me through training and through the marathon.
All our local shows, but like, despite what the bosses say, like they rank this like a week to week, like we're breaking down film of a football game.
Yeah.
Like 1 week it's great, the next week it sucks. The guy who finished the marathon says, every week it's fantastic.
Nice. There you go. So take that. Put that in your pipe and
smoke
it.
Powder your balls up nice with that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Fucking A right.
That was unnecessary swearing right there.
No, fucking A is not unnecessary. Okay. That's not like gratuitous swearing. I think it was apropos for the moment. It's expression.
That's an expression.
Absolutely.
That actually happens.
Go fuck yourself, Tommy, at the end is kind of gratuitous.
No. That's gratuitous.
No, that's part of the show?
Yeah, that came naturally, though.
Okay.
And now has become part of the show.
Fuck it then. Let's just fucking swear, huh?
It's part of the fabric of the show. And of course, we steal that from Goodfellas. You know, it's a line from Goodfellas.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, come on. What's the matter with you?
There's a few references from Goodfellas in Crosstalk Unhinged.
You can never have too many Goodfellas references.
By the way, speaking of
what?
Television.
And movies.
That's a movie.
Kind of like you were talking about, entertainment. I saw a tweet today on the Twitter machine how that pretty much every person that was part of the big cast in The Sopranos also was part of Miami Vice back in the day.
Really?
Yes.
The original TV show?
Yes.
Like, who, like,
a lot of guys like,
yeah,
like was who? Polly Walnuts
well,
was
I could
part
see
of
that.
It.
Yeah, I could
like,
see, okay.
Like, all the older characters all had a bit parts in Miami Vice.
What about Meadow? Was Meadow?
No,
she
Meadow.
Was not alive.
I'm joking. It's a fucking joke.
Little Anthony.
But, like, so, like a lot of the characters,
Meadow,
of course.
That was good. Yeah. So those old character actors,
yes.
Like Tony Sirico and
did
those guys.
Did you watch Miami Vice when you were young?
I was a kid. Oh, I watched it a little. I mean, I was pretty young.
It was appointment television on Fridays.
Favorite episode.
You guys are a little
favorite
older.
Favorite episode.
Yeah. Mine was one with Ted Nugent.
Was it Ted Nugent?
Was in
I was going to say,
was
wasn't Glenn
star.
Frey on one of them?
Yeah, yeah, he was probably on the original.
Colin, who's the Genesis guy?
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins was on it. He was a drug dealer. Wasn't Phil Collins a drug dealer?
Everybody was
Miami
a drug
Vice
dealer.
For me, they're all drug dealers.
The show, I mean, what the hell? It was Miami in the late 80s.
Well,
I mean,
no, there was some gun running. There was some gun running.
That's true.
It wasn't gun running and drugs.
Yeah, it wasn't just drugs. There was gun running.
My modern day Miami Vice was Burn Notice when Burn Notice was on.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I loved that.
That was pretty good.
That show was good.
And the one guy... not Gabriel Anwar, and not the guy that obviously starred in it, but the other one was in Miami Vice.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
The guy who helped them. You're,
right, he's one of the detectives.
I don't remember his name, but
I don't
right.
either, but he was in Miami
I was
Vice.
Pretty young when Miami Vice was really popular, and it sort of existed like...
Well, it was Phil Collins in the Air Tonight that kind of really brought it to the forefront.
That's where Sonny's driving around,
yeah, Sonny
right?
Sonny Crockett is driving around, Rico Tubbs, you know?
You know, the thing like I knew more than anything was just you knew, even as a young kid in the 80s, you knew of Don Johnson. Like, Don Johnson had... what would you say, like a panache
about
the panache.
Him? Right, yeah. Like, and
he's
I,
cool as fuck.
And he was just an cool as fuck. And he had an aura. Yeah. And I didn't watch it religiously because I was pretty young, but
and
it was...
He was banging him two a time at Dolphin games. God, yeah, Dolphin games. Course. Up in the suite.
Really? He was a sweet banger.
Oh, yeah. Friday night was, like, in college. You wouldn't go out to the bars on Friday night until Miami Vice was over. It was 9 to 10 on the East Coast.
Wow.
And at 10 o'clock, that's when everyone would leave the fucking dorms
and
go.
And I was a snot-nosed 10-year-old still living at home. Yeah. I wasn't excited. Right, it sort of existed, and we knew it, and we kind of sometimes we could sneak it and watch it before our parents would tell us to turn it off.
I had the pastel jacket with the T-shirt on.
That's what I'm saying. They were trendsetters, weren't they? And didn't they roll up the sleeves of the jacket?
Of the jackets. Yep. Yeah.
The sleeves.
Everybody had an alligator for a pet for a while.
Well, yeah, right. Everybody wanted an alligator. Yeah.
Well, then there was the famous pastel T-shirts underneath the sport coats.
The most famous
shoes without socks. All that
all that. Like it was so Miami cool. And the best Chicago tie-in was when Jimmy Mack and Walter did the poster.
There was a spin-off.
And it was all, and I had that in my room.
I'm not shocked. Like,
because that's all I cared about.
He's got two dudes on his wall.
I did.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Are you in a mix, though? But Yurko, like, you've made fun of me in the past about this. Growing up in the 80s, was the golden age for posters.
Yeah.
Right. And, you would have Farrah Fawcett, Cheryl Teagues.
Christy Brinkley.
Christy Brinkley.
Cheryl Ladd, her majestic hats.
Yes.
What a set of tits on Cheryl Ladd.
Oh, my God.
You could say that.
Oh,
glorious.
There was a famous one I had in college of a pickup truck with about... five or six women in thongs with their butts hanging out. Yeah.
Where they're standing up in the back.
In the back, and you've got the rear. Right.
Oh, yeah.
But look, going to...
Oh, like a buffet.
Going to Foot Locker back in the day to the poster rack and spinning through the posters of all the great posters
Dominique Wilkins.
I got to get that fucking poster.
Dominique Wilkins.
100%. Dan Marino.
Human highlight film and all that stuff.
Sylvie's right. I had around the perimeter of my room in my parents' house in my bedroom, around the perimeter, around the entire perimeter, pennants.
Yeah,
like I wanted pennants.
Did you spin them in a circle, or did you put them all around the room?
I lined them all up around the room. They all went and pointed the same way. And it was teams that I didn't even give a shit about.
I liked
San Francisco 49ers. You had to have a 49ers pennant. Of course, I had all the Chicago teams that I cheered for. But then there was a Niners pennant and a Boston Celtics pennant because it had the fucking cool logo on it.
Had it all.
And there was a Phillies pennant.
Julius Erving posters.
And then the poster, sure.
Fireman had the Len Bias poster.
I didn't have the Len Bias poster. Doing lines of coke. I mean, come on.
I mean,
really,
Johnny,
and Don Rogers.
What's the matter with you?
And Don Rogers poster for Cleveland.
It's not too soon, but it's still...
It's too raw.
You asshole.
It's too raw.
You fucking asshole.
I will say this. I had all of the sports posters everywhere, but when I laid my little head on my pillow at night, my sight line was Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett.
Every night.
Of course.
Yeah, I said goodnight to her every night.
For me, it was like Kathy Ireland, Christy Brinkley.
Kathy Ireland back in the day was probably the top of the top shelf.
Yeah.
Got like a $1 billion empire, too. Oh, look out for that.
What the fuck was that, Waddle?
It was something. I don't know.
Yeah, these supermodels, like...
Stupid cowbell he was trying to grab.
No. I was falling down and actually knocked one of these off.
Did you?
Yeah.
Len Bias, though. Can I circle back to Len Bias for a second? Len Bias, at an impressionable age, I forget how old I was... At the time that he passed away.
You were 15 or so, right?
I'm trying to think when they drafted him. Out of Maryland,
I think I was at BC.
86,
I was 15, 16. Yeah. You're growing up. You're starting to hear about alcohol and drugs and stuff like that. And in case you don't know, Len Bias, was he the number one pick?
I don't think
he was
number one.
Number two. And the Celtics, for some reason, had, like, the number two pick. Like, they were great every year, and they had the two pick.
Yeah.
They took Len Bias, and you were just thinking they were going to continue to pass the torch from one great player to the next. And after he was drafted, he passed away after he tried crack, right?
Or I think it was coke.
It was coke.
Crack.
He was in cocaine overdose.
Some crack.
It said cocaine overdose.
Yeah, some drug.
Yeah. See, like, for me, I always thought it was crack for some reason.
No, I think it was,
but it was like he was the poster child for me. We were talking about posters of like, fuck, you don't mess with coke. you don't mess with crack.
It scared you.
Like that was, like, and I've never, I'm 51 years old. I've never had ever, thanks to Len Bias starting young, ever the want to experiment with that.
Do you guys know who the number one pick in that draft was?
Was what, it 86?
86.
I'm going to say it was.
Went to Cleveland.
Went to Cleveland. World
Craig
be free.
Elo. Brad Doherty.
Brad Doherty's a good guess, Sylvie.
Yes.
Nice job. Yes. Good guess. There you go.
Well done. I used to love Brad Doherty too. Yeah. Like he killed the Bulls.
Yes.
Until Michael finally hit the shot.
That's right. Those fucking.
We had
cats.
Brad Sellers. They had fucking Brad Doherty. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck. They have the good Brad.
He's a big NASCAR guy. Isn't
two Brads.
Isn't
he? Wow. Yeah. He owned the truck team.
Yeah.
He was a big man with a good touch, but he could do it all. He could play defense. He could rebound.
Those Cavs teams were really good. Late 80s, Sylvie and I always
these Cavs teams,
those
I think, are going to be pretty good.
I think
good
these Cavs teams are going to be good.
All right, that's enough sports.
All right, sorry. I don't want to get
the bosses are going to critique.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to go too much sports.
But yeah, Len Bias lesson.
You can't overreact to a critique, though, every once in a while.
You know me, Yurko. I still overthink.
But I did the thing, back to the posters, I did the thing also when I was young, and I had them on my ceiling. And all the girls I had on my ceiling.
Did you do the ceiling poster?
I did. Yeah, what a dork.
I actually put my pennants. I put them all in a circle. I put all the pennants because they were
circle, a pennant circle a jerk pennant. On the ceiling?
Yeah. I don't know that I ever jerked to the pennants.
Are you
but
sure?
I put this, no,
like
I told
Philly
you.
Fanatic? Or,
I went to bed every night.
Sure, last target practice.
I went to bed every night looking at Farrah Fawcett poster.
Are you sure it wasn't Pete Rose sliding into home?
It was not.
When I admitted like Zorro in a Z. Left my mark.
That's awful.
What are you doing?
I'd look up and there would be, there's Heather Locklear and Kathy Ireland and Christy Brinkley.
Hello, how are you?
That was my wheelhouse.
And for me, for a little while there, Sheena Easton.
Yeah, really? Sheena Easton for a while.
Sheena Easton was also part of Miami Vice.
Yeah, she packed the punch for a little while.
She was Crockett's girlfriend.
Look, but she had the look
died,
in that Prince
she?
Thing.
Didn't she die in the
show?
Well,
I mean, you know, it's only theater, you know? It's movie. I mean, she's not dead.
Do you think, like, young kids...
She was killed off in the show.
This, you got to remember, this is
shot
way...
on stage.
This is way before the internet. So, like, do you think young kids are still, like, do they have Gisele Bündchen posters up? They don't, right?
They're just not a Tom Brady fan.
It's all over their computer.
You got to pick one or the other.
All right, yeah. I mean,
they have like, posters on demand.
That's right. It's all online.
You
can
get so much.
Yeah, so they don't even need to worry about it.
Covet a girl with clothes on.
Like, we used to.
It's interesting. Are there still posters on? Because Mason.
Would still put them up.
Mason, like, prints off pictures from the internet and puts it on his wall.
He's got his own personal NFTs on the wall.
Like my kids have fat heads on the wall, but like, do they have a Gisele Bündchen fat head? Like where you can put? I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's a thing we did because it was pre-internet. And we sort of had to.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're alone in your room at night, there's Heather Locklear.
I told Mason the first poster I got him though was I had to get the Michael Jordan wings.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a poster. Is it considered a fat head then when it just sticks to the wall?
Head. Yeah.
But the this is to me one of the most famous sports posters of all time. It's Michael Jordan with his wingspan.
Yeah.
And it's just a wide poster with his arms spread, right?
Yes.
With just his wingspan.
That's it.
It's called, and it's just the caption is wings.
I remember that one. The Soarin' one was always like the best one.
In the dunk contest.
In the dunk
at the stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it says the floor is the ceiling on it, right?
I think that's the ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof.
That said, boy, his team's going to be horseshit too. How about it?
Has Steve Clifford always been there?
I'm like, why? Michael, you fired him like 3 years ago. Why are you bringing him back?
They want the glory days and of now, like a 4-over-500 team.
And now LaMelo's hurt, and they got the whole Miles Bridges thing hanging over their head where he's maybe going
trouble.
To jail for a long time. There's no, I mean, like, they're a, they start the tank for Victor Wembanyama. That's what they're doing.
Oh, that's a kid from France?
Tyler Aki had a good, we were talking about Wembanyama and the what's the expression going
to
be?
Explain to people who he is.
Victor Wembanyama or Tyler Aki, which one?
Both.
Tyler's one of our young producers here who's
a big
college basketball fan and just he knows a lot about the college guys and the international
guys.
He's
a Syracuse snob, we can say.
Yes, Syracuse snob.
Syracuse robot.
But, you know, Wembanyama is the kid from France who's 7'5", who shoots threes. I mean, he's got a silky smooth jumper.
How old is he?
18, I think. And so we were joking. We're like, "What's
the tanking?
What's
for?
The tanking going to be?" And Tyler said, "Suck dick for Vic." And I thought that was funny. I said,
"It's
Tyler,
really good.
We'll use it on Unhinged since we can't use it on the air." I said, "That's pretty good." And I think Michael's team is going to be in the suck dick for Vic sweepstakes here this year to get Victor Wembanyama. Come on, you got to admit that's pretty good, right?
It is pretty good.
It's not bad.
It's pretty good.
He is the best prospect they say since LeBron,
right?
Yeah. I've seen clips of him. He is pretty smooth, and he's not like who's the kid that was from Gonzaga that is like
Chet
Holmgren.
My God,
well, this kid's not exactly packing on the beef either.
Right, I get it, but
I mean, he looks emaciated.
Chet looks like there's no chance he could ever.
I know.
Make it through an 82 game season.
This kid's got bad toes, or he's got a bad foot.
He's out for the year.
Yeah,
that's what I always worry about. Like when you get into the 7'5 range, like granted, you know, Wilt was 7'2, I think, and you've had big guys. Shaq is a legit 7 feet. But when you start getting into like the 7'4", 7'5".
Like Samson, wasn't he 7'4"? He was always hurt.
I don't know if you can or you can't, but bone density would be something.
I don't
whether you can test it or not test
like
it.
Like even Yao, who was great for a long time, but even Yao's career was truncated a little bit because his feet started giving him problems.
Do you know who's a big guy like that who was thick and lasted, I think, forever?
Ilgauskas.
Mark Eaton.
Yeah, Mark Eaton was a
was
big
guy. Was he 7'2", 7'3 guy?
Not anymore, though.
Wow. That's right. He got hit on a bike, right? When he bike rides?
Terrible. I'll never bike ride
outside. He played probably, what, 12, 15 years?
Mark Eaton played a long time.
Yeah.
I do always worry about, like, those thinner, like, 7'4", 7'5 guys, though. Like, how do their legs hold up? Because it's just... It's awkward to be that big. Let's face it. It just is. I don't know how natural it is. I don't know if you can stay healthy. Well,
I mean, you got your own personal crapper? I mean, what kind of shitter do you have?
I don't know.
You're not getting down on a deep knee bend.
Are shitters higher? Are shitters higher?
You can have a bigger crapper.
You can have them made. Yeah, that and lower.
You got that made.
It's a great question for like Casey King back
then. Put them on a base, a little higher, you know, where you build them up on a base. Could be the same crapper. But build them up on a base.
I bet you, it's called the King Crapper.
The King Crapper. How do you get in a car?
Can you text Wennington right now? You have his number.
Sure,
see if he responds.
To ask him if he has elevated toilets.
Do the Bulls? Does the Bulls locker room have?
I've been in there. I've never noticed.
No.
No, I've not.
Have you taken a crap in the Bulls locker room?
Taken a crap. I've been at the urinal in the locker room. I've never taken a dump.
Are higher, aren't they?
Any of you guys have urinals? Anybody got urinals in your home?
No.
No.
I had to build mine right next to the floor so my little guy doesn't get wet.
The water's so cold.
Wait, you do not have
a urinal.
So
do you have a urinal?
No, I don't have a urinal. No,
should I really test Wennington? Like, hey, test Mr. 7-1.
I
talked to you in 5 years. We were wondering if your shitter's taller than
the
normal.
When's the last time you texted Bill Wennington?
He probably has to use the handicap stall.
Last December.
I think the handicap stall bathroom, the crapper sits higher. Yeah.
The last text exchange Wennington and I have is last December, so it's been almost a year.
Yeah, actually, he's going to appreciate
a text
about your
Carmen
your
the Idiot's doing Unhinged, and I get a text about my commode height.
We're having a conversation.
I texted Benetti last night when he was doing the Bulls game. Mm-hmm. I said it's cool to see you do a Chicago sports team that can actually run.
That's funny. Did he respond? Right
away.
He doesn't respond to me. Jason put me on the pay no mind list.
Everyone with a White Sox tie just hates you.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know why.
I think they sent out like an edict. Don't talk to this fuckface.
That's not true. Brooks likes you.
Brooks does. Yeah, I'll 100% always be close with Brooks Boyer.
I
think outside of Brooks Boyer, I think Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn have like made an edict. Like, and that fucking asshole calls you or texts you or says anything to you.
Hang up.
Look the other way.
I don't know. Jason was pretty critical of the team.
Yeah, he won't respond to me. He hasn't like in 2 years. Nothing.
Really?
Yeah. I think they don't like me.
By the way, Cuddy's back to not responding.
He's too busy fucking hunting deer and drinking whiskey.
Yeah, they've got hunting turkeys right now.
I haven't texted him directly
early season
in a while.
Teal. You got all types of stuff.
Danny sent me a thing. He was on a private jet going on some hunt, and they were doing like, he goes, he's stealing your bit. They're doing whiskey
tasting. Whiskey reviews?
And then I'm watching them do the whiskey ruse, and they're talking about bottled and bond being barrel proof. And I'm like, yeah, it really can't be, guys. So I don't think
that's what you get when you get amateur guys talking about bourbon.
I don't think
bourbon.
They're quite, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's when you just get guys. Yeah,
it's bottled and bond, and it's foolproof.
What does that mean?
Learn
bottled
what the
bond.
Fuck you're talking
bottled
about.
Bottled and bond has to be
100
proof. Bottled and bond has to be 100 proof by law. I don't call them jagoffs.
No, but the point is to quit trying to bullshit people like you know something.
I said, I'm not too worried about it.
We talk bourbon. You know how I let talk bourbon? I let this guy talk bourbon. Why? Jay, because he knows what the fuck he's talking
about.
Jake
can talk about the moose hunt. I'll
I don't know
bourbon.
In fact, I could be talking about a tequila.
I heard you guys were fighting about the bourbon of choice last time we had one of those tasting things, though. No?
No.
Isn't that what they said? The good kid in Carmen.
I let Carmen pick first.
Yes, we brought that up.
Two times ago, I let you pick first, right?
But you guys did not see eye to eye on what you liked two times ago.
Back in April when we tasted through the barrels, that's true. The barrel Yurko picked, I wasn't a huge fan of. Right. But that's okay. He liked that one.
It was my second barrel, though. I let Carmen pick first. I was hoping my first barrel would slide.
Yeah.
Carmen picked it. Mother humper.
But
I can't believe he would do that.
We were on
but
the
we
same
were
page.
Comparing notes. I was independent. I had one of the guys from Few Whiskey was helping me.
Right.
And he was my consigliere as we were tasting.
I'm not going to lie. Right. It all tastes good to me. I can't tell the difference between any of them.
Yeah, you said that, but no.
I can't. I don't know why.
But when you first started drinking coffee, you couldn't tell the difference.
Probably, yeah.
So this is what I tell them.
Yeah, I have a palate that's not educated.
You just got to continue to drink and you'll learn.
The only way you learn is you get a bourbon on this side and you get a bourbon on the left side. And then the two, they're so different.
Diametrically opposed.
They're so distinct that then you get one in the middle, and then, okay, now this is where I'm going, and this is what I'm feeling.
So here's the text I sent. I just sent it. We're having a conversation about big guys going to the bathroom. Does a guy like Wembanyama have a special toilet to take a dump?
You should have asked him. Do you have like a higher toilet?
All build a base up, man. I know there's a base. One base.
I guarantee
put a little tile around there. Absolutely. For the big
really
guys.
Really tall people.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, you can't get down below, say, even a guy with, knee arthritis.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get below 90 degrees. You make a guy get to,
you'd be
get a guy to 120, he's never getting off the toilet.
Like Phil Jackson, didn't he always have the higher chair on the bench?
Yeah.
So, he can't get down on a toilet.
It's like dropping hot dogs into a fucking, a net.
A garbage
can. You
gotta be dropping what?
Right, hot dogs into a net if you've got to sit up.
Like a pool stick down a hallway?
I sent him a follow-up. You got to drop it. You better make sure you don't get any on the seats.
You do have to wonder because, it'd be, for a guy that big, it would be slightly awkward if you had to squat so far down, right? Your knees are up above your head.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Shit. That can't be good.
Well, not just that, but your shit doesn't, your body
First of all, the squatty potty was there. You put it by your thing and it brings your
true.
Feet.
That's true. Correct.
I use
and
it
And that
still.
Allows the Dairy Queen effect to happen.
Right.
The what?
Where everything, the Dairy Queen effect.
Yeah.
I love the squatty. I
when
still
you turn
use
on
it.
The ice cream and the Dairy Queen, it just pours out like that. That's the Dairy
Queen. Yeah, but I would think that there is a point of where it doesn't. It's not as effective. Like, if you get too bent.
Right. But I gave that to the boys. And, they
point
had
of diminishing
bathroom.
Return. Right.
They put it, they utilized it.
I
that.
Did.
This is the greatest thing we've ever gotten.
Zetterman gave it.
What
did he respond?
He goes, great question. I do. Because I followed up. I go, do you have a special toilet?
Yes.
He goes, great question.
Can you call him and put him on speaker?
Sure.
Do you think he'll answer?
Should we call it, Merck?
I don't know how clean it'll be. Guys, I don't know how clean it'll be.
I don't,
trying to do it on a speaker with a phone, the technology.
I don't know if he even wants to go.
Either.
Maybe he doesn't even want to go on the air.
I told him we're doing a podcast, the four of us, and we're talking about it.
Why don't you text him and say, can Merck call you?
Who's the coach that never wants to do a podcast? There's a coach that did once.
It was Sean Payton.
Yeah, Payton. Don't call me up.
For a podcast?
Yeah, he goes, don't call me for a podcast.
Even Pardon My Take that has more listeners than most radio shows.
What is his?
No, he doesn't want to do them.
Why?
Because he goes, well, okay, when are we starting? He goes, we just did it for the last 30 minutes. We did the podcast. Yeah. He goes, man, I don't want to do that. He goes, I'll do a regular radio interview that people are actually listening to.
He wants to know people are listening live.
Yes.
He likes the live effect.
I don't know. I mean,
where's he going to be next year? He's going to be in the
Carolina.
League. Carolina?
No, I don't think
I
it's
was
Carolina.
Thinking of
I think
two.
He wants something that's a little closer to him.
Dallas? Although they're 4-1, McCarthy still stinks. I mean, let's face it.
Well, which one of these 4-1 teams are going to be gone? Who's 4-1?
McCarthy's not going to be 4-1.
The Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
Cowboys,
but that's all Dan Quinn and that defense right now.
Okay, but the point is, which one of these teams are going to miss the playoffs? There's some 4-1 teams that are out there that are not going to make playoffs.
Does he live in New Orleans?
I live back in Dallas, I think.
Is he in Dallas?
I know he lived in a condo in Dallas, didn't he?
I'll give you two teams. Like, I was thinking about, because they were talking about this on Greeny's show today. If Dallas, if they coach their way into keeping the job in Dallas, like, you got to think about where he would want to go with a quarterback.
Yes.
And if Staley gets fired in LA, right? Like, wouldn't that be the perfect
2 years in? Is he already on the
if you can get Sean Payton,
you know who's already there calling offense for them is his former offensive coordinator. I mean, that's a job just like.
Who is it?
It's Lombardi.
Lombardi, yeah.
And then what about Arizona?
Lombardi's the OC in LA. Yeah.
What about Arizona? Kingsbury's going to get the boot.
I can't imagine.
That's a good call.
Peyton and Kyler Murray would be kind of a volatile combo.
What if Sean Payton comes in and he says, as a part of me coming in, I don't want Kyler Murray. Right. We're trading Kyler Murray.
Sure.
That's my point.
Then maybe he wouldn't take the job, but I would give Sean Payton carte blanche on what he wants to do.
And then I'd find out who else was in love with Kyler Murray and say, okay, let's.
You could probably
this is a
1-2
thing, and then watch him go get Jimmy G.
Doesn't he want to go to, I've heard that he doesn't want to go to a cold weather place. He wants to go to a warm weather place.
I don't blame him. He's been in New Orleans
all
these years.
So that's why I was thinking L.A.
That's a good call.
L.A. would be a great town for him. Like, book McVay on one team, Sean Payton the other team.
Arizona would be a nice place for him.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
And he gets to keep Lombardi on the staff. That's
interesting. He can set up shop at the top of Four Seasons, buy Kingsbury's house from him, take his job, buy his house.
Listen, in Dallas, I think if they... Either that job, if they take it away from McCarthy, would go to Dan Quinn, or if they gave it to Sean, Quinn would probably be a head coach somewhere else, and he'd leave.
Yeah, he's going to work his way back into a job somewhere because what he's doing.
That defense is vicious.
Wennington says, that they're basically the height of a handicapped toilet.
Yeah, that's what Johnny
said. Propped up much higher, and he says, you got to have him when you're that big. And Wennington's a legit 7'2"?
Yeah,
I bet.
He's a big man.
He says, got to keep the legs comfortable. Also, not going into deep squats to get up anymore.
Yeah.
That's
from when it's That's good.
That's good.
I love it.
We got to have him on soon.
We should talk to him.
Bill Wennington is one of the most fun guys to talk non-basketball stuff about, too.
Absolutely.
Like, I just talk about...
He's a biker, isn't he? Doesn't he ride his motorcycle all over the country?
Every summer.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he's still doing it. I mean, he did for a long time. He had a big group.
Yeah.
He was part of, like, a motorcycle group. And they took would take a trip.
Get a motorcycle
every
gang.
Summer. They'd take a trip somewhere and they'd ride like thousands of miles.
Yeah, well, did he ever ride back up? I mean, he's Canadian, right? Isn't he from Canada?
He is. He's from like up in the Quebec area, though. Yeah. So I don't know if they would go. I don't know if they would. That's a little long. It's not like going to Toronto. That's a long way. I don't know, but yeah, he used to do it all every summer. He would do it.
Quebec up to Montreal.
What are you guys? What are we hard over here? Whether it's a game, a thing. When it's been around, brought to you by Blue Chew. Our friends at Blue Chew present Crosstalk Unhinged every week.
The Bears about to get the stench of that loss off their thing. I'm hard for the Bears game tomorrow against the Commodores.
Yeah?
Can't wait.
Can we call them the Commodores, not the Commanders?
Is this like what Gracie used to call a slump buster? Is this like when you're struggling a little bit
and play
and Carson Wentz comes to town?
I'll tell you though,
this is like getting the slump buster.
I wouldn't be strutting like a peacock if I was anyone in a Bears uniform.
I don't know that
like
I would either.
Yeah, that Commodore team is every bit the same as they are.
I mean, and I got to be honest, I went back and watched the Titans game. They had a lot of explosive plays down the field. He's good for a boneheaded decision did at the end. Yes. They were at the 5-yard line, guys. Yeah. They were going to win the game. He threw a pick.
He's a lot like Cousins.
He is. But he also threw for 350 yards in that game.
And
they had a bunch of explosive plays
down
the field.
Two things are going to happen. Someone's going to sack him a couple of times. He's either going to put the ball on the ground in a fumble or he's going to throw it to the other team. That's what he does.
He
could have one of those games where, like, they've got talent on the edge.
They do. And, you know, Jahan Dotson's probably not going to play. That hurts.
They can rush the passer, too.
They still have two really good receivers besides him.
I mean, Diami Brown finally showed up last week.
McLaren and Samuel.
And Curtis Samuel. And Diami Brown had two touchdowns finally. I mean, they like his talent. He just has been MIA his first year plus. But, yeah, they do have some weapons, like, surprisingly. And I wouldn't be strutting either. Like, if you're not careful— you know, he could throw for 350 and a couple of touchdowns and beat you. Yeah. Do you know what their record is here?
Listen, the fucking Giants and Daniel Jones with one leg beat them.
I know. Do you know what their record is here since 1981? Do you know what the Washington record is?
Well, it's the way you're phrasing it, it's got to be good. And they
10-1, 9-2.
Yeah, I cried after the Skins beat the Bears
86
in 86
and 87,
yeah.
Right? It was back to back.
And then it was Frisco. And then Frisco in 88.
Well, Frisco was 89.
Frisco was 88
season, I guess.
88 season, January of 89.
Yeah, but including the playoffs, the last 11 times Washington has been into Chicago, they're 9-2. That's not good.
Yeah.
They've won four straight.
Do you know what I'm hard for? I'm hard for postseason baseball.
I was going to say that too,
Waddle. I like postseason baseball.
I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed the teams.
Yes.
I was disappointed last night with the Dodgers and Padres because it was...
Although it was still close to the final score.
I tapped out, though, once it was like...
I did too. 5-1 and I was gone.
Yeah. But they made it a game. It was still 5-3. And there was, you know, the Mariners, even though they blew it, they're a fun team to watch. They really are. Like, Julio Rodriguez is a superstar, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, they are a young, exciting, fun team to watch. That one's a kick in the dick, though, yesterday. You can't lose that
game.
Oh,
no. They may get swept now, right?
Yeah, it was brutal. It really was. Let's see how they bounce back.
You're hard
for
the Phillies, aren't you? Don't you guys have a ticket on the Phillies?
We got a ticket on the Phillies. I'm hard for the Phillies.
With Castellanos finally his hit, and you know how I feel about Schwarber. Absolutely. Now they got the two pitchers ready to go.
Yeah. No, we're hard for the Phillies. So, yeah, I'm a little hard for postseason baseball, too. I like October baseball, even though my team's not in it.
And then next week, Bulls season starts. I'm wearing my Bulls. Yeah.
I see that.
The preseason's finally over. I don't know how good they're going to be.
43 wins.
I don't know.
Let's get on the Blackhawks official bandwagon because tonight is their opener against
Colorado.
Hold on, though. They had 68 points last year. Over under 68. That way you ain't got to think too long about it. Over under 68 points.
Under.
Okay, I'll go over. They'll get 69 points.
Do you guys see? Nice. You guys see the real quick. I know we got to wrap up. You see the box of the jewelry box that the Avs got for their rings.
No.
When they opened them, there was a flat screen. So they open up the box, and
that's cool.
And it's like the call of the game ending, and they, you know, rushing out onto the ice, celebrating with one another, and their ring sitting in it. That's cool. Pretty
There's
fucking
a
badass.
Screen like in the back of the box with as video, you open it up
with a video.
Wow.
With the highlight of, you know, after 22 years, the Colorado Avalanche are champions again. And it was pretty fucking awesome. They all open up their boxes, and that's what
Waddle,
they got.
Waddle, you have to make your joke that you make every time when someone mentions the box. What's in the box?
What's in the box?
You always do that.
How'd you forget, man? What's in the box?
You know, I'm having a fucking slow day.
All right. Thanks to Merck. Thanks to Blue Chew. Remember, get a month's supply for free. Just pay $5 shipping and handling. That's it. Just go to bluechew.com and use the code unhinged when you check it out. See for yourself why Yurko and Chris Black and Ozzy and everybody else raves about it. All right. Bluechew.com. Use the promo code unhinged. We'll see you next week. Why don't you go fuck yourself, Tommy?